Welcome back to Dr. Brass Tacks. We are here with you now until 12:30. This is normally the point at which we go to the latest. So we go from now until 12:30. The number is still 434-1790. You can email us at peter.w.wickham@gmail.com. Or you can use the chat 266-IVOB. A lot of conversation on the chat concerning the issue that was on the table this morning of unfairness from telecommunication providers. And you know, the golden rule in law is always let it by everywhere. And certainly you are your greatest protection against exploitation. So ask questions and seek answers. If you don't understand something, ask for an explanation. And don't be afraid to tell the service provider that you will leave and go elsewhere. Of course, if you're dealing with electricity, you don't really have much of a choice. But then that's when you go to the Fair Trading Commission. So that is the situation. I'm told that the situation in Guyana, the most recent update is that the small parties have convened a meeting and have called on the APNU AFC to stop wasting the court's time and to concede the election. But there's been no response yet coming from APNU AFC. This is Dr. Brasstacks. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Peter.
Good afternoon, ma'am.
Mm-hmm. How is Mr. Johnson?
Mr. Johnson is good. My assumption is that he will be back fairly soon. I have not heard anything different to suggest that he is okay. So I am assuming that all is well. Yeah.
Okay. I love to hear that. Yes. I have a problem with Flo. I have to call in here, Flo. I called last week and tell Flo and them, because I had to call this long number, wishing that you have somebody here that you could call when you have a problem to tell here, but you have to call overseas number. I called and I did get on. And I tell the gentleman, you have some wires that run from a pole by me to another house, wishing the wire is very low to the ground. About 3 feet off the ground. But then there's the children play with the wire. I call the CA and they think it's skipping rope. And they play with about 3 of them there, they're playing with. I call them to tell them that to come and check the thing. They tell me they will come in 24 hours. That was last week. This week I call back. A lady told me she's sorry because what happened that they didn't come to me. She can't understand what I say, and then they can't even understand what she's saying, but I'm telling her what I'm thinking. But I'm sorry to see how this wire here caught these little children running about, pulling about the wire and making it longer and longer. So I want to know if someone could come and check it for us. This bad service with that company.
So this is Barris, like, and Paul will be responsible for the wire.
No, like the power wire is very high. This wire is very low. There's nothing.
So this is probably like a telephone wire?
Well, yes, there's the telephone wires. Nothing of them. And all the low, low, low.
You see the children skipping with it?
The children, no, they're skipping, but I said enough to skip. They're pulling them and stretching it and thing. And that is very bad.
They shouldn't do that.
Yeah. They shouldn't be doing it, but I got to shout at them and tell them don't do it. There's not much.
Have you reported? You tried reporting it to either of the telecommunications providers?
I call the long number, and that's who I get through to. I know the other number.
Okay.
So that's what.
All right. Okay, ma'am. Well, as you said, that's the only thing we can do. Report it because it's either telephone or probably cable, one of the two. Not much else that we can do beyond that. Okay, Dr. Brasstacks, good afternoon.
Hello, hi. Good afternoon, Peter.
Yeah, hey.
How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm not too bad. Good to hear you. It's good to be able to talk to you from this distance.
Boy, let me tell you something. I remember somebody took it to France.
They didn't know what they were saying.
And you take them advice, okay?
I take them advice.
I must say, listening to the broadcast, right? You coming through clear, man. You sound like you're in the studio.
Okay.
So something, right, something definitely working, you know, in a positive way.
I have to admit that I had some reservations about the facility and how well it would work. But I'm hearing you guys, and if you all are hearing me, I'm happy that this means we have an additional way of reaching you. So that's great.
Yeah, yeah. sound very, yeah. you're coming through good, actually.
Yeah.
Look, I don't know if you keep in touch with the news and all of that, you know. I know when you're in France, you will be quite busy. But I also know that you is a true Bajan, you know.
And, you know, man,
and at this time of the year, you will want to keep your finger on the pulse to see what is going on in the country, right?
No, sir, the reality of the situation is that my location of work is the Caribbean. So right. While I'm here, I have to admit that my pulse is very much on the region. There's too much happening in the Caribbean now for me to take my eyes off. I live here, but I don't really have a huge interest in the public affairs in the way that I do in the Caribbean. So I'm very much in touch.
Well, fair enough. I thought so too. Yeah. But what I want to say, what I want to have conversation with you about is this recent comment come from the minister. And I'm not picking on the minister, who happened to be a good friend of mine even before I had any clue that he would have elevated himself to be a politician, and that is Minister John King. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I hear some comments yesterday, you know, where he looking at a Kaduma type show, he in collaboration with the foundation, okay, looking at a Kaduma type show. I would like Minister King and Carol Roberts and the government of Barbados to understand that Barbados does not belong to them. They're only managing the country for now, okay? And I am saying, in all of what is going on with this COVID and all of that, I believe that Barbados have been spared this far, and I think to open the floodgates, though, I'm a crop over man, I love crop over to the max, but I then recognize, right, and I come to the solid conclusion that there will be no crop over type show in this country. And I learned to live with that, right? And I'm comfortable with it. Now to tell me, hey, that you going to spring up something, a Kaduma type show. You know, you might not call it Kaduma, but a rose by any other name is still a rose. And you're upping the numbers and you're relaxing the protocol for these two events or for this event, right? To facilitate this mass gathering. And then the Czar he does not see, as a matter of fact, I did not hear the Czar say anything about this here. But then again, I don't think the Czar should be pointing fingers neither. Because if I listen to a prominent doctor in this country, Dr. Adrian Lord slapping the Czar every day across his wrist for dropping his guard and being social distancing from his job, right? And I don't know if you are saying to me at this point, but I am saying to you that I think, right? I think and I believe strongly that when you start to shift about the goalposts with the suit you, and I'm talking now about the minister, right? I don't think that is the way you should go. Admit that we lost the scrap over, right? Mm-hmm. Admit that you don't have to do a catch-up show to regain any ground. What do you have to say, man? I want a conversation with you.
No, I'm with you on that. You know, when I heard the announcement, I was a bit concerned. And I was saying to the lady earlier, to me, a lot of things go hand in hand. So you have crop over, you have calypso, usually a little bit of rum thrown in there, or a lot of rum. Let's be frank, a lot of rum. You have the walking up, and you have a lot of behavior which is not consistent with social distancing. My thing is that if you're going to give me a show, by telling me, come to the show, stand up a foot and a half, a meter and a half apart from someone, don't walk up on the body, and wear a mask. I personally would prefer if you just let me stay in my house and watch television. Because it just seems to me like you're forcing something so you can say that you did something. But the reality is that I can't disaggregate it. Now, I admit that I may be a weak individual. There are some people who can go to a party and enjoy it and not drink anything. And I say I tip my hat to those persons. So if there are enough of those people that can fill a crop over party, I say, you know, Godspeed, if there can be such a phrase. But for me, that will not work. And I agree with you that I would prefer you to say, let me skip this one and let me try and work on next year, as opposed to giving me something and then harassing me, telling me that if I go, I'll walk up on the body.
And like if the walk up police going to be at the party, If the walk-up police can be at the event, I swear the walk-up police can be drinking them and reverential. This is serious. You're laughing, but this is serious.
Yeah.
Right? You don't know how serious this thing is. The Bahamas next door, well, just down the road streets, they have to shut back down again. We do good this far. Barbadians, for the most part, adhere to all the guidelines and the social and the protocols, right? And we help in this exercise to bring to this level. What are you saying to me, Mr. Minister? What are you saying to me, government? That hey, you can relax this thing to let people have a good time, you know, for a day, and then the numbers spike again. Barbados does not belong to any politician. We just borrow it from the generation that come in after, right? And as you have to be robust in your thinking and your discussion, people labeling you with a party ticket and saying, okay, you're getting the government list.
It's lawlessness.
And I would see John King today, I would tell you that this is lawlessness. Right, if I see Prime Minister today, I would tell the Prime Minister, listen, Prime Minister, you get this far, but I think that this is a lawless behavior. And I would say this to you, right? This have complications to backfire on the government.
Suppose it were possible to have a party like this, and that there were enough people who were not like you or not like me that were prepared to go and make it profitable. Would you think that it would be a good thing to COVID,
I can say this to you, right? If I understand your question correct. Right now, it does not matter who goes to the party. You know why? Because that person that, when the party's finishing and walk down through my avenue or walk near me in Bridgetown or Warrens where I frequent and say, okay, I want the guys or I want people that went to the party last night, they're not going to walk over the label. So they might endanger they might compromise my health, you know. Just in case that they have been infected from the same party.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you got to guard against this. Admit that we lost the scrap over. Did nobody feel worse than me to see that I could not go and enjoy a calypso tent and there's nothing and seeing the girls parading the bodies down on spring not spring garden.
That's
you like them. Of course, I like to see the ladies, man. I like to see the ladies, okay? I go to watch the Kaduma.
Half naked, parading.
Right? To see the ladies. And I'm saying to you, and Barbadian women, and West Indian women, and black women look really, really, really good. So I would go anyway. I would start at any vantage point to see them. But I admit, and I come to the realization that cannot happen this year. So John King, Carol Roberts, and Madam Prime Minister, I want one to pull back on this particular one.
Yeah.
We could do without effect this year, man. Thank you.
I am with you. I am with you on this issue. I would say 99%. My only thing is that I acknowledge that it's not for me, it's not for you, and I just wonder whether there may be people out there. For example, this Gospel Fest every year. And I certainly would never go, but it is often well patronized.
Listen, Peter, the people in gospel, the people that go in the gospel fest, they all record all in heaven.
All in heaven?
Yeah, then they'll be okay. All right. But I felt like me, so the intro, where you going?
It's sinners like you and me that God worry.
Yeah. All right, Peter, take care, man.
All right, thanks. Okay. Good chatting with you, sir. And as I said, I am with you on that. I think we really need to reflect on this whole thing. The loss of crop over has been painful. But as I said, you know, when we are in a situation where it's a half something, whether we have to ask ourselves, are we going to do more harm than good by opening up some of these parties and some of these events and giving people half of what they want and then essentially getting them to a situation where they get in the party and they have to control the behavior. I wonder whether, you know, you're not right that it might very well be better. Let me just skip this one and see if we can move to next year. Donna Brastacks, good afternoon. Good afternoon and welcome. You're on the air. Yeah, we seem to have lost that call. All right. Well, we're going to have to go to the latest in about 5 minutes. So in the meantime, I can perhaps read an email or two. I can read an email or two that we've received. And I saw one here from my good friend who is the consumer advocate. The email seems to have disappeared as I speak. All right, I'm not seeing that one. So I'm just going to read a couple of the WhatsApps that we are getting. Still, we're getting quite a few. Peter, how is the elections in Trinidad looking? What are you seeing or hearing? And it was interesting that we didn't have any conversation about that today at all. The remarks by Kamala Prasad, a former Prime Minister of Trinidad and Tobago, about a black man. We thought we heard a black man, and she specifically said a black man. I don't think this is a good campaign for Kamala Prasad Bisesa. I suspect this one in which she will have challenges. My views on the COVID election, I think, are well known, and the fact that the COVID reality has increased the likelihood of the incumbent retaining office. I think it is against that background she is fighting. In addition to that, Kamala Prasad Bisesa has a bad habit of comparing herself to Keith Rowley in terms of a matchup, almost like a presidential matchup. And I want to comment frequently that only works in a situation where you are convinced that you are more popular. I've never been convinced that she is more popular, and certainly at this time, she seems a lot less popular. Calling him out in a way like that, even if she said blank, essentially still focuses on this whole idea of the presidential campaign versus a localized election campaign in terms of constituencies and so on. My feeling is that Kamala Prasad Bisesa would do better to focus on her ground game, to focus on her constituencies, because the idea of the national competition is one in which she appears to be outmatched. So as far as Trinidad and Tobago is going, my sense is that the incumbent is likely to retain office. This is not necessarily based on any kind of poll data. This is just my assessment of how things are looking. You know, Trinidad and Tobago elections are essentially a competition within the marginal constituencies. She does not have the benefit of the Congress of the People, COP grouping. The COP has a superior capacity to deliver those marginals. And as a result, she will be unfortunately at a bit of a loss. So that's my concern where she is concerned. Someone else says, well done, Wesley. It's breaking my heart. I can't go out for a walk-up. However, this is not the year for that. Well done, Wesley. And as we comment on the fact that we can't walk up, down to brass tacks, remember this is your Tuesday edition. Today is the first day of July 2020. And we continue with you until 2 p.m., which means we have just over an hour of conversation left on the program. My name is Peter Wickham, of course, and I'm in the distinguished company of John Stowe. Together, we will take you through until 2 p.m. I had a couple of points I wanted to make briefly regarding the situation where we are. Of course, the last election was held in May of 2018. We are approaching what would be the halfway point regarding the term of government, which would be 2 years and 6 months. So somewhere around the end of this year, we'll be at that stage. And my sense is that the review thus far is a reasonable one. Going in, it was fairly clear that what the people of Barbados wanted more than anything else was a government that was stable, that was dealing with issues of finance and financial issues, and would have brought some level of financial propriety and measure to the situation of Barbados. And certainly in my analysis leading up to the election, I thought that that would have been our number one, two, and three priority. As fate would have it, I think that there are other things that were clearly on the table by the time the election came. People were concerned about the situation of public transportation and a lack of bus service in some of the more rural areas, specifically some areas of St. Lucie, St. John, St. Andrew, St. Thomas to a lesser extent, but those were the types of areas that were suffering badly for bus service, St. Peter in some instances. People were having issues with garbage trucks and the collection of garbage. We had a system in place that allowed for private collectors to assist, but fundamentally, we felt that we wanted to get to a situation where government had a greater capacity to pick up the amount of garbage that we dispose of. And then, of course, water. Water is a perennial concern for many people, especially during the drought season, the non-rainy months. We have an issue where water is concerned in many places of Barbados, especially the higher elevations of this country. Roads were a concern also, and we had issues with the general condition of roads leading up to the last election, where a lot of the roads were in pretty bad shape. Here we are now, 2.5 years, almost 2.5 years later, and I think I'm very pleased at the fact that some of these issues have been dealt with as far as the checklist is concerned. So the garbage trucks are here and they are in operation, probably bigger than we would have liked, but nonetheless, we're happy. Too big is a fit, as we're often told. The question of buses, and just before last week, we were happy to see buses arriving in the country that are being deployed. In this regard, I want to say that I am very happy at the fact that the buses that have arrived are, to my mind, of the highest international standard. You know, we in Barbados are always amazed when we see a public bus that is air conditioned, that has Wi-Fi, and that will meet to pick up disabled passengers. I'm particularly keen on the last part because I always feel that that should be a fundamental right of people who are disabled to have access to the same bus that I have. In Europe, it's standard that anyone who is disabled can get on any bus that anyone else carries. There's no idea of a special disabled bus. They must be able to access the same buses that able-bodied persons can access. And I'm happy to see that the 33 buses that came to Barbados, all of those have that facility to kneel and pick up a person who is disabled. That is absolutely important in 2020. And I'm happy to see that this process of non-discrimination against persons with disability is being reflected in terms of the selection of buses. There's a lot of mixed views in relation to this whole idea of air conditioning, but I also believe that air conditioning ought to be standard on public transportation. The reality is that so many of us drive air-conditioned cars, and I see no reason why a person who is paying $3.50 to get on a bus should not have access similarly to air-conditioned buses. So certainly the idea of an air-conditioned bus is a good thing, and I think that congratulations are in order in terms of that. The buses are electric. Again, I think that that is a great idea. And the idea of moving from diesel or petrol to electric buses is clearly the way of the future. I'm advised that it will not be too long a period of time before there is no longer such thing as a petrol-powered vehicle or a diesel-powered vehicle, because we are being told that certainly by 2030 and beyond, many of those vehicles will go out of existence. In Europe, the assumption is that most manufacturers of vehicles in Europe will stop manufacturing petrol vehicles by 2030, which means that it will be difficult for you to find such a vehicle to buy. If it is that we are going electric now, I think that we are ahead of the curve. I certainly would want to congratulate government for that. So as we move down the checklist, I'm happy that we have made progress regarding buses. We've made progress regarding garbage trucks. We've made progress regarding the condition of our roads. The one egregious issue now is water. And my sense is that that is something which government has to take on full throttle between now and the end of this year, or probably into the dry season next year. If we are able to come out of the rainy season next year, and certainly by the time that we start to get problems associated with water in March or April next year, that we have some kind of a desal system in place, even if it costs us a fortune, I think that the taxpayers of Barbados will feel that that is money well spent. And I think it puts the Motley administration in extremely good shape to say, we have delivered pretty much what is necessary in terms of what we promised and what people demanded. And then we're looking at an election that is still some two years away. And I'm saying this particularly because if we look at the election cycle and say that we can get down to a situation where all of the major issues, the major checklists have been solved within the first 3 years, then certainly after that, the question will really be one of how do we deal with issues of finance and cost of living and getting money back in people's pockets and things like that. So that's my sense of where we are in politics. Someone was just asking regarding the physical infrastructure and roads and public buildings, perhaps we need to have a separate discussion on that. And I will give that thought next time I will be offering remarks at this nature. So, but for now, I think that we are pretty much on track. And I want to say that I think the government is pretty much on track in terms of dealing with these big ticket issues. Dr. Brastax, good afternoon. Good afternoon and welcome.
Good afternoon.
Yes, sir. How are you doing?
I'm fine. I trying to get on to Barbados Relevant Authority.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is about 3 months now that I received a 1300.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is that I damaged the check. I tear off the perforation off the bottom of the check, but I wasn't supposed to do that. So I took back the check to Barbados Relevant Authority. And what happened is that I tried to get hold of some person or whatever. I get a phone number. And I call in the number and I can't get through. So I would like to speak to somebody that I can get this problem rectified. Because it is too long now that I carry in the check, and every time I go there, somebody telling me that I got to wait. There's no thing in the system that I bring back the check or whatever, but I got to wait all the time. So I would like to know who I could talk to that I could lay my complaint and see what will happen.
No, you're going to help me a bit, sir. You said that you got a check for $1,300?
Yes.
This is regarding what, though? Overpayment?
Yeah, $1,300 from the income tax.
I'm sorry?
The $1,300 from the income tax.
Oh, you got your tax check?
Yes.
And it was damaged?
Yes. By me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I thought I was supposed to tear off the bottom of the check.
Mm-hmm.
I tear off the top part, and my mistake, I tear off the bottom too. So when I went to get the money change, the person tell me that I damaged the check.
Right, okay.
That
but no, but you have to take that back to the Inland Revenue Department.
Yes,
to
I had to take it back to BRA.
Right, and what happened?
And this is about near 4 months now.
Yeah,
so I visit BRA.
But let me ask you how long it took them to give you it in the first place.
Well, it didn't take that long. When the checks was coming out, I wasn't one of the batch that yet. But this is about before I take it back after it get damaged by me.
Mm-hmm.
So I followed the form and everything, and the young lady take it. So I went back a month after.
Mm-hmm.
So I speak to the same young lady, and she tell me it's not ready yet.
Mm-hmm.
So then I went back about last month. And when I get back
mm-hmm.
there, I check and everything, the lady tell me that it's not in the like it ain't in the system or nothing. So mm-hmm. I want to know how could I get to get this work out.
All right. No, I mean, it's possible that they will also mail it to you, because you got the last one by mail. It's possible that this one will also be mailed up when it comes off. I think you were fortunate to have been in the first offering in terms of the distribution of monies. But I also think that you need to be careful. Sorry, I think that the idea of reissuing the check is probably harder than issuing it in the first place, because the process of reissuing it would have to ensure that the old one was canceled and so on. And that might take them a bit longer. If you deposited before the COVID period, it's also possible that the COVID period is holding up the reissue of the check, because it's not as simple a procedure as writing one for the first time. What I would suggest to you, sir, is keep checking back. Go back to the same lady and see. And it's also possible that it may come in the mail.
The lady that was dealing with me, I understand. The last time I've been there, I understand that she wasn't there anymore.
Right.
So she gave me two numbers, and I was calling those two numbers, and I wasn't getting through. Yeah. Which I know how, probably know how it worked down there. Mm-hmm. So, I plan to go back by the end of this month. So, if I don't hear anything by the end of this month, I would want to see somebody higher up that I could explain to them what really went down.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wouldn't worry too much anytime being, sir. I think that the matter is clearly in hand. You know, the check has been received, and I'm sure that in due course you will have the payment reissued. The challenge you're going to have, though, sir, is that you may have to wait because, as I said, reissuing a check is not something that happens as easily as you may think, because there's a process that may have been even held up further by the process of COVID. So all I can tell you is keep trying those memories that you have, and I hope that, you know, at some point in time, somebody is able to answer the phone and give you some further information. Also check your mailbox regularly, because it's possible that when it's reissued, it may very well come in the mail.
I third check it.
Yeah, all right. All right, sir, okay. But unfortunately, there's not a lot more that we can do for you in that regard, right? Thanks. Okay, two quick WhatsApp messages I wanted to read to you. One is saying that the concern about the coziness of the buses and the size of engines. The gentleman is concerned that within 2 weeks of public use, the seats will be torn up and beat up and cut up and broken out because people are non-caring. However, we have to thank government for supplying buses for our users. My personal preference would be that those buses not be put into service with schools. I feel that it would make a lot more sense to deploy those buses for use on the same kind of northern routes, the areas that are not well serviced currently by buses. So I would say St. John, St. Andrew, some parts of St. Philip maybe, and St. John. Yeah, I think I mentioned St. John as well. Those are the areas of Barbados that my feeling is that those new buses should be deployed in to help beef up the service in those areas. And I think that people, especially the ones in St. John and St. Andrew, have been long suffering regarding the availability of bus services. And I think they deserve special treatment for the amount of suffering that they have endured. So my feeling is that if you do that and you get what will probably be a more mature, responsible user, and you leave the current facilities that are in place for the transport of school children, that may very well be more inclined to beat up the vehicles, that we may very well preserve the lifespan a bit. So let's see if that's something that can happen. Question that someone is asking about the situation with gyms and masking in gyms. So the question is, do we have to wear a mask in a gym? I can't imagine anything more difficult than wearing a mask in a gym, but the question is it something that is required? Gyms are sometimes socially distanced. Certainly the one I attend is socially distanced with Perspex between machines where persons will be doing cardio and maybe inclined to, you know, share perspiration or whatnot. So hopefully that will take care of the necessary social distancing regarding those gyms. But the question is still whether, in terms of the COVID team, is it requiring that they be mask wearing in the gym? And if so, how will this work? As I said, I can't imagine, for me, it being an easy thing to do, but I guess if it's required, it is required. Thank you, Peter. I think this government did quite well. We are always ready to talk about what is not right. We forget to say anything about the good that has been done. Peter, you believe that only school children are responsible for damages inflicted. I've seen ignorant and lawless adults too. I certainly don't disagree. I'm just saying perhaps it is less likely. Something happened to my daughter who is 30 years old, and I haven't gotten any money that is owed to me. Up to yesterday, there were no buses for Chalky Mall. And I would think that, well, certainly National Insurance problem is a different one. The issue of Chalky Mall, I would like to think that you will probably, hopefully, be one of those that will be included in this new dispensation that we're talking about. I don't know whether the buses have been deployed for service yet or whether there's a period of training that's required with the drivers and also the mechanics. So I don't believe that they're on the road yet, but I would imagine that if the formulation is as I expect, that our place at Chalky Mall will be one of those cases that is covered. Gentleman is saying that the issue of physical infrastructure, roads and buildings, and general cleanliness of the country is a concern. I believe that government can do far more to enhance the general aesthetics of the country, and we need to do so if we are to encourage digital nomads to make this country our home. And this question of digital nomads has become rather topical of late, and the question of aesthetics. We have a major project in the city that will hopefully bring some level of aesthetic pleasure to the city. We have another big project that's coming up that will look at the area of the coastal area, which starts almost by the Pierhead area, and will hopefully revolutionize that entire area. So I do feel that the city will look somewhat better in a few years' time, but this is something that will take a little bit of time, and that is a concern. Somebody's asking me about the situation at LIA. That is something about which we have to hear details. We're being told today that the Prime Minister of Antigua and Barbuda has announced that LIAT will be continuing in operation in a few months, and that the three airplanes which represent the sum total of LIAT's assets will be sold, and that it would appear as though Antigua will be taking over controlling interest in the entity. And certainly we would wish them all well. All right, another question, Peter. It would be great if these new buses were outfitted with security cameras and a GPS system, which allows computers to track them through an app. And I couldn't agree with you more that this is something absolutely essential, that we have the system, GPS system, that allows us to know when a bus is coming so that we can prepare ourselves. This is actually not difficult to do at all, and it is something that can be done with the existing fleet of buses. I'm hoping that we will get to that stage in the not too distant future, where we can stay at home, see when the bus is coming, and go to the bus stop exactly when the bus is arriving because of the app that we have.